Hello, Rebels. Before we kick off today's episode, let me ask you a question. What if we could help you unlock your marketing superpowers in one day or less? Actually, to be precise, I mean 3 hours. Yes, you heard it right. What I'm asking you is 3 hours of your time to join us for a brand new intensive experience, our marketing deep dive. One day masterclass that will help you create marketing strategies that capture hearts and mind. And every single masterclass is going to dive deep into one of our favorite topics of marketing. Maybe that email marketing, hiring, or even automations and beyond. If you want to get the fast track ticket to become irresistible, then I'll suggest you check out our upcoming marketing deep dive, where you're going to get 2 hours of hands-on training with lots of exercises and practical group work as well. Plus, 1 hour bonus office hours and Q&A. Oh, and we also have a personalized dashboard and bonus templates to help you apply what you learn in our 3 hours. And just to put a little bow on it, you also get a certificate of completion to show off wherever you fancy. If you'd like to find out what is coming up next and which one is our next marketing deep dive, all you have to do is go to amschool.click/masterclass. There you'll be able to find our schedule with our upcoming masterclass for you to join. On with today's show. Hey, marketing rebels. Welcome back to Our Marketing School, the show teaching you how to make your marketing more impactful, human, and fun. It's Fab here, your marketing BFF and head teacher at Our Marketing School. And in today's class, I'm joined by the one and only Becca for the last time, but that sounds ominous. For the last time before summer. Becca's like, didn't get the brief one. For the last time before summer.
Hi, Bex.
Hello. How's it going?
I feel summery, she says, looking outside in the greyest grey of all greys. Stereotypical British conversation starter. But I feel summery. So I decided today to actually start us off with some summer combo. I think that's going to be a bit of the vibe of today. And my quiz, in the most roundabout way, will actually talk about summer. So follow me, dear listener, on this wild journey to actually get to the point. Okay. The quiz for this week, everybody, is, and Becca, which famous actor taught physical education or PE for a year at Uppingham School in England while it was still a teenager? A. Hugh Jackman. B. Hugh Grant. C. Idris Elba. A, B, or C?
B.
Hugh Grant.
Yes.
Okay, dear listener, hopefully you thought about it too. I want to say that I was almost tempted to do a whole set of Hughes and do Hugh Laurie as well, but then I stopped myself from doing that. Even if I love Hugh Laurie, he's the best. The answer to which famous actor through physical education in Uppingham School, all through schools, while still a teenager is, Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman is a British-Australian actor. Some people might not know that, actually, because we all associate him as an Australian actor. When he was a teenager, it was in Uppingham School, and he taught PE. And now he is Wolverine. So, fun, not-so-British-British fact. Oh, today. There's a reason for that, aside from Becca looking utterly disappointed.
I just don't know what to do now.
The reason why I wanted to bring this up is because I wanted to talk about summer. And one of the reasons, one of the things actually that really jumped out at me a couple of summers ago, and actually last summer too, was a great summer campaign that British Airways did called British Original, which I don't know if you know that, Becca, what that was.
Yeah, go.
Rings a bell.
Yeah.
So what it is, a campaign all about British values, all about being British. And well, it was actually huge. So it was 2022, was huge. We had about 500 unique prints and digital and executions, so including billboards. And it was all about the multitude of reasons why people travel, like whether to go home, reconnect with loved ones, immerse themselves in different cultures. There were a couple such as
one of my favorite is To Escape the Dreadful Weather. Surprise, surprise. But it was actually great. And I think what's interesting about it is that it goes back to the idea that for some of us, actually, as marketed, summer can be such a challenging conversation. And I love the fact that obviously British Airways, knowing that they're a big part of this time of the year, they decided to infuse their unique angle to them. One of my other favorites is, you know, the A in GSE Spanish won't use itself. So it's a great reminder that I think summer can have a bit of a bad rap for marketers, or can be, whether you are marketing yourself or marketing for companies, a bit like, what the hell am I going to talk about? Are my people still going to be there? And even just social platforms, I think, in a way, are preparing for that shift. So I've seen a lot of news about kind of features and things to actually keep people on apps when it's actually historically harder. And yeah, I wanted to bring a perspective of, in my opinion, a great campaign that actually found, you know, this is the time of the year for us to shine. How can we infuse something unique to it? And I think British Airways really nailed it.
I like that. I like that a lot. Do you feel that there's sometimes a pressure when it comes up to summer? Like you'd be touching on there, your strategy can feel a little bit like it goes out the window sometimes because your audience are potentially not there. It can be a bit daunting of like, what am I going to do, first of all? And what are my audience doing? How can I still cater to them in a way that they'll also want, because they might be enjoying a break themselves?
I think that is where actually the points that you made to me become more of a strategy reflection. It's something that I wouldn't introduce in the strategy for anybody, and for myself in this case as well. And I think that's kind of where I will go about it. I can definitely share what we are doing this summer now that we're almost done preparing it. So hopefully by the time this is out, it's ready. But I think you hit the nail on the head there, is regardless of if you're doing your own strategy, if you're doing strategy for a client, if you're doing strategy for a company, I think it goes back to that, having that understanding of the user intent when it comes to just how we are aligned, what we're looking for aligned, what we're looking to do, what we're open to take as action as well. I think this is super important. And what I mean by that is that a lot of the time in summer, their actions are different. It might be less involved. We might not even want to commit. I think commitment can become a bit of an issue for some of us. But also remembering, who is your audience? Maybe your audience is the most hyper-committed ever. And in summer, they're like, I really want to change my career. I really want to make a change in my life. Maybe not. I think that's one of the big things to kind of ask ourselves. So in answer to your question, I think your questions are actually great reflection points that people should have and should do when they go for a strategy. Actually, I'm going to ask you a question now, which I think is going to be super helpful for our dear listener, which is, would you or do you plan strategies that are longer than 6 months ahead? How do you usually find planning strategy for a client? What is the ratio that works for you guys, and obviously for clients as well? Because I think that's the issue related to that is, but I already did my strategy, how am I going to break it down? Do I need to redo it? You know, things like that, I think.
Yeah. It's a good question. And often I would say campaigns aren't planned that far in advance. But one thing that does come up every year, certainly with the types of clients that I work with, is annual reports. So we've just kind of come out of the main suburb of that period of time, which is usually April, where some companies will be releasing annual reports, and there's a lot of content within an annual report, and you can use that as much or as little as you'd like. So sometimes I do have clients who want to get like every last little scrap out of an annual report, which I think is actually quite good, because sometimes you can turn what might look like almost a boring report, and they're usually like 150 pages long or something, into interesting content. One thing that I've noticed, and I think is, I was going to say future-proof, somewhat, is you can figure out what it is within a piece of work like that that you want to effectively socialize and have the foundations of your strategy set out. So you know the kind of ongoing story that you want to tell. The bit where I would say be slightly more cautious and prepared to adapt is how you actually showcase that content. So let's say, is it going to be, you know, maybe a slightly lengthier written post for LinkedIn? Or have you got a video idea that might also be for LinkedIn or maybe for Instagram or even TikTok? Or is there something that you might want to be releasing in like an ongoing email? Have some ideas and factor that into whatever your strategy is at the moment. But I think it's really important to remember that we've seen this a lot. Sometimes platforms will introduce a new format or take one away, or there might be a big shift in kind of user behavior. And that's where you've got to be prepared to take your kind of underlying content and go, right, we've got this. We know what we need to say. We know what's going to be most valuable for our audience, but we need to be prepared to turn it into a video or turn it into a new image carousel or, you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes I see clients and they would want to prepare not only the story and the content, but the output 6 months in advance. And I think that that can be quite high risk. There is part of me that gets it because I'm like, oh, be so productive. You just have it ready, sitting there, done, lovely. But I think that is quite high risk because you, in the social media world, do not know what is going to happen on a platform by platform basis. And the thing is as well, one of the kind of most valuable things you can get from it is testing. So with something like an annual report where that data is going to still be relevant for as long as 6 months, often sometimes things won't be in other cases, but this is a piece of work where you can be like, right, this is relevant for basically a year. But also don't fall into the trap of, okay, yeah, we're going to make, let's say 30 posts and they're all going to look like this and we're going to tell the story like this and it's going to be like very pristine and perfected, because you might test or you might publish those first 10 posts and they all, two things could happen. It could do exactly as you wish and you hit your targets and then you know, right, this is working. The platform seems stable. We can continue with that strategy. Or you might see that there's very, very low engagement. Nobody's clicking through and downloading the report. We need to pivot. We need to do something different. That's the other reason why I say hold fire, know your story, but don't actually create the content, because you might need to adapt based on your audience engagement as well. Because at the end of the day, if they're not finding it valuable, what is the point? That's something I have to tell B2B clients sometimes as well. I think there's an ongoing battle between almost like visuals, like we've got to be seen publishing X, Y, Z. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. But you've got to make sure it's valuable as well. Well, that was a very long answer, Sab, but there you go. That's my words.
I like your long answers because they're full of nuggets. So dear listener, yes, you will have to adapt. Yes, being flexible matters. And no, you cannot control social media platforms updates during that time. But if anybody's listener, if Adam is listening now, I love that my husband edits pod and he was like, "Who's this Adam that you keep talking about?" And I was like, well, unless you are in this world, you would not know Adam M as we know him. It comes with the pain where people call Mark Zuckerberg Zucky or Mark, because then you get to talk about them so much that you kind of feel like you know them. Sadly, we don't know them. So even if we ask them not to release major updates during summer, sometimes they might do. I feel and I've seen though that things have shifted in a way where social has been going more with the seasons, thankfully, because of now people actually taking summer for summer, right?
What? Yes.
One note that I wanted to make that you kind of mentioned as well, though, is the combination of being adaptable but also planning ahead. Planning ahead, I think, really helps. And you talked about experimenting, which I think is super important. I'm going to give you an example of what we are doing so that it kind of shows you how we're doing all these things together. One thing that I want to say before that, though, is that don't shy away from awareness days or international days or things like this at this time of year. Sometimes I think there's an over-reliance and like, compliment a colleague at work day. like, still like, oh God, please don't. Or pyjamas at work. I mean, when you work from home, you can work from your pyjamas any single day. But so these sometimes can be a bit of a push and you're trying to force them in. So maybe think about that. But I think in general, this could be a good time where some of these international days or Wednesday, you can pick on them just to add a bit of a spin. Thankfully for us, we don't have to do that. We are a school. Shock. Hi, if you're completely new here, listener, we are a school. So our summer campaign is summer school. No, I know. Shocking again, big reveal. But we thought about what is one of the formats that works really well for us. This goes beyond social, by the way. So I'm going to break it down for you. What format works really well? Events. What are we? A school. Oh, wait a second. We're a school. We do events. What is something that people will already associate with a school? Summer school is a thing. So we decided then to take what we would do sometimes, which is like bigger and more like one day kind of events, and actually break it down into a whole series of events where you sign up and RSVP for the duration of 2 months. It's 2 months every single week, one event a week. You can access all the replays, you can access the future ones, and then our members of the student all access pass will be able to access all of the sessions forevermore. On top of that, just to go back to what Becca said as well, also like the element of being clever as well, I think is important, and the repurposing piece can actually be essential. As I joked at the beginning, Becca is the last episode of this season, so to speak, because actually for us, seasons work really well summer to summer just because of the summer idea of a school. And so what we're going to do, we're going to repurpose the sessions that cater for that, hopefully most of them, but the sessions that cater for repurposing were repurposed on summer school into the podcast. So in the summer holidays, we're still going to have stuff going out while we are resetting. And spoiler alert, we're going to talk about some changing on the podcast and lessons on the podcast in the next episode, just foreshadowing that with Jess Bruno, because she asked for it. So thank you, Jess. And then we're going to come back. So to recap, sometimes actually looking at who you are and leaning into that as your strategy, as the wording, as the association can really help. Also repurposing, whether it's social, whether it's other content, even if it's newsletters, whatever is your main form of content, summer is a good time to repurpose and really think about how can I make the most of what I have. Some people decide to take a full-on break, and I want actually to ask you about that, Becca, because I think that is still an option and a possibility, especially if you're burnt out. CK is on point on the podcast. We want to make it better always because we spend so much time on it, as you, dear listener, might know by now. So sometimes taking a break on some things is important, but some people take a full-on break. And sometimes I even say, if you have to put out a content for the sake of putting out content, maybe that is not such a bad idea. Which leads me to, first of all, Becca, what do you think about our idea getting roasted live? And then secondly, I think we've got to talk about taking a break. So first, what do you think about summer school?
Summer school I love. Yes. I do think in the summer months, there's a... I always feel like I get almost a wave of motivation. And I think it's because of almost like the extra brain space I have. So things like... the summer school. I was going to say the school summer. That's not the right way around. It's actually really nice to have something like that, because when you think about, okay, it's the summer months, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. I'm also like, a reoccurring theme today is like prioritizing as well. Prioritizing what's important, how you want to spend that time. Same with content. What content are you prioritizing over that period of time? I think it opens up actual brain space, this is at least how I feel, for you to enjoy and actually be in the right frame of mind to pursue things like a summer school, where you're like, okay, I want to get this content and I'm going to make space for it. I know you mentioned the weather right at the beginning, it being a bit miserable, but I do think there's something in the fact that it's generally a bit sunnier. And I know I can't tie this like with data back to social media or like content, however, there is something about when you're sat there and it is actually a nice day, makes it, in my opinion, more motivating to want to do it, because it's like, well, I've got, it literally feels like you've got extra daytime to play with, so you can do whatever you need to do, and then dedicate a bit of time to just enjoying the sunshine, hopefully, and then, you know, pursuing what you want to. In terms of taking a break, I think it's so, so important. And again, you started to touch on this about how long we are looking at content, creating content. I think working in marketing can be really tricky because to stay on top of everything, you've got to be so basically in tune. So that means spending time on the platforms. It can be really difficult sometimes. And I'm sure you've been in situations where occasionally you might think, you know what, I just don't want to use social media right now, and I would rather switch it off and never come back. And I definitely have had days like that where I'm like, ah, kind of need to come back after about 12 hours, otherwise something might have happened. But I think if you can, again, prioritizing your content so that feels like it's been taken care of, and just being kind to yourself. So if you do need to take a little step back from social media, yes, there might be things that happen and there might be things that change. But again, hopefully this trend continues. Typically, bigger changes are now a little bit more in tune with the seasons. So that's nice. Less pressure on us. And again, even if things do change, one of the, I suppose, benefits of it being in the summer months is less people are online. They are literally going and doing other things. So it's kind of, again, that time to map out what, if there were any changes, what should I do? What's going to benefit my audience the best? How can I adapt this kind of going forward? You don't necessarily need to make such a knee-jerk reaction had it been at a different time of year, for example. So very, very important, I think, to try to make dedicated time to have a break, because it will really benefit you in the long run. And hopefully you can enjoy the sunshine.
And she brought it back to the weather. Thank you very much, Becca. But I think what you said there is so important. Just to also remind ourselves of the creativity well, that sometimes we kind of forget about. And even if there's always the fine balance of consuming content versus creating content, maybe that's where we tip the scale a bit more. And summer can become the time where we actually consume a bit more content if we want to. And one final thought, as you can hear what we talked about, I think you might have heard different ways to go about it. So I want to give you one more, just in case, because everybody's different and every dear listener is different. Another way that you can go about it, which is not what we would do because of who we are, but if I had product-based company, that could be one of the things that I would love to try, is heavily leaning into user-generated content for gamification as well. I mean, I genuinely think that for product-based competitions and giveaways, obviously can bring more people that are targeted to you. And what I mean by this, I'm going to go into teacher mode for a second, something that we teach our students. Giveaways and competitions are great. I like them. I personally like the gamification aspect. But I think when you have either high ticket or B2B or service-based, you have to be very specific about what you give away, because otherwise you get leads that are completely pointless to you, which means you bring new people into your world that just want something for free. So you have to be really targeted with what you're offering so that you get the right people in. For product-based, it's a bit less like that. If it is a product that is either related to, complementary to what you're already offering as a product, I think it's a lot more likely that people that you get into your world might still want to also buy your shoes, as well as they want to buy, I want to get free sunglasses, for example. But so whether you use the gamification or not, I think there's such a powerful opportunity for user-generated content at this time of year, so that your audience actually, that might be a bit more passive, can become a bit more active. But my suggestion would be lean into the summer element of it. So that's the other thing, it's just not user-generated content for the sake of it. Don't ask your audience to do work. That's what I say a lot of the time when it comes to user-generated content, unless you're working with creators. Don't ask your audience to do work if you can. But I think it could be a great opportunity to, you know, have them share a fraction or an element of their summer that can be either related to your product or involve your product and your brand. That will be my final strategy nugget for people. And I know it's not on the B2B, but I thought it's B2C business to consumer would also be worth the while mentioning, because I know there's so many listeners that are working for one or owners of this type of companies too. And I don't know, that's how I feel about user-generated content over summer. I don't know if you have any examples that you have experienced of, like, some really nice kind of user-generated content. Today is a bit fresher, but that's how I see it.
Yeah, less, I don't have any examples as such, but I do agree, like, using it to your advantage and finding that balance between something that's authentic to what you're looking to achieve, not asking your audience just to, like, as you say, do work as well. I think that's a really key point. And finding something, just on both points, that feels like the authenticity. I just feel like audiences are very, very savvy now, and they'll see through if it's sort of for the sake of it. So by following the advice you've just given, I think you can avoid that and actually have a really kind of purposeful, hopefully very valuable campaign. And I think that shows. I'm trying to think of an example. I can't, but I think you can tell when you see a campaign out in the wild, one that is more purpose-driven and one that is just trying to, you know, gamify engagement, perhaps. I think typically the first do better.
But then we're biased in the best possible
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
We like to create content. And you know what's interesting, actually, from a user intent perspective, before we slide into a couple of cool things that happened, which are not TikTok banned because we just talked about it, or Instagram algorithm because we just talked about it, but more stuff happens all the time, so don't worry, didn't listen to COVID. I just wanted to say one more thing that made me really happy. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that mentioned, from a content to social perspective, the user intent aspect, and I was like, Becca and I talked about it first, but it's okay. But I was so happy. I was like, oh my God, we've been talking about this for years. And eventually, this kind of audience first, in a way that is not just a tick box, but actually makes sense from a strategic point of view, is becoming more of a norm. So I just want to toot our own horn and say, yay, it's happening. Well done, everybody. Thank you for listening. But yeah, I think it's very important what you just mentioned there, just understanding, and it ties in with, I think, all the strategies or thoughts that we brought is about yourself, taking a break, making good decisions, not trying to overdo things because you want to be adaptable, but also think about your audience. And as you say, remembering that they are savvier than sometimes we lead ourselves to think, which I think is super important.
Hi, marketing rebels. What if you could have a stunning website tailored to your unique brand, all created in mere seconds? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, WeAllSingers AI website builder is actually a reality. I gave it a whirl because you know me, and honestly, I was blown away. Just answer three simple questions and voila, your website, complete with copy and images, springs to life. And the best part? You can tweak it to perfection with a drag and drop editor. No coding, no fuss. Imagine unleashing your brand's potential with a website that's not only stunning, but also SEO friendly. Plus, with WeAllSingers AI tools, you can even predict visitor behavior. The closest thing to a crystal ball for your business. Ready to revolutionize your online presence? Head over to WeAllSingers.com/AMS to use the code AMS for 10% off your order and a free domain name. Your dream website is just a few clicks away. On with today's class.
Now, since the media world will not stop for summer, even if it's sunny, there's going to be a poor little person there figuring out LinkedIn updates and features. And what the sun is showing. What has been going on? What are some of the things we need to know ahead of summer that have been catching your eye?
Well, I got some LinkedIn news for you. Went a bit northern then. So, two things, and I don't know which to start with. I might start with one that's tied to the theme of having a break, taking a break. And that is LinkedIn introducing games. Let me let that simmer for a second. So when I saw this, I don't know whether why I'm so skeptical, but I was like, is this an April Fool's? Is this just a piece of old news that I've seen? No, it's real. It's actually happening. And they're launching three different games. I'll read out the names. One is called Pinpoint, which is a word association game. One is called Queens, a logic game. And one is Cross Climb, a trivia game. So actually three quite nice kind of directions there. But my question was, why? Why are they doing this? Because we've heard some kind of, you know, LinkedIn updates over the last few months. They're pivoting towards more video-based content. At some point, this kind of video-first feed will be rolling out to everyone. I'm quite excited for that. I think it will be interesting to see, like, in reality, what content is on there. But games, why are they getting people to play games? The reasoning so far is basically because when people are going on the app, they're having a break. So let's give them something to do, which kind of seems a little bit bizarre to me, because in my thought process, I was thinking, if you're LinkedIn and you're getting people to go on LinkedIn, don't you want them to engage with the content so you can update your own algorithm? You're getting more out of that user effectively. But no, we're just going to let them play some games. I think, and there were some comparisons to when I was looking at it, none of them are Wordle, but it reminded me of almost like, do you remember when Wordle first came out? There was almost like a frenzy. Everyone was playing Wordle. It was, have you played Wordle mm-hmm. today? All this excitement. And I know that there's still a lot of people who are like still on it. And I was like, are they hoping that one of these three games is the new Wordle? And so they can capture people when they're having their break, because that's where people go to play a game. And maybe, this is really like cynical, but make LinkedIn app, like time in app, just go up. So they can say, look how engaged our audiences are when actually they're playing a game. Now, it just feels, I like LinkedIn, typically. And if you tip these games out of LinkedIn, I'd go, yeah, I'd probably download that and have it as a, if I'm on the train, or maybe if I'm having a break during the workday, I'm not sure. But to combine it in app just feels a little bit odd. And I've got my LinkedIn What Are You Doing hat on, if I'm honest. Because I don't know. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
LinkedIn, if you're listening, excuse me. Thank you, Becca. LinkedIn, if you're listening, hi, everybody. Hi, LinkedIn peeps. I know that you always listen to the podcast every time, and I appreciate you for listening. I have a suggestion. I love what you said, and that's why I have the suggestion. You mentioned something that I think is very important. For you, more naturally, this should be something separate. Can I see the LinkedIn brand? Maybe you can share your score on LinkedIn, which, once again, I don't think it would work really well. Also, because I feel that my question is, would people want others to know that they're on that break? You know what I mean? Like, if you are working for somebody else, you're like, yeah, I've just been spending a half an hour doing LinkedIn Wordle or whatever. LinkedIn, if you want me to give you a suggestion, user intent again, I swear I didn't plan this. Think about one of the things that people really love about LinkedIn. We did a survey ourselves. And we learned that actually a lot of our audience is actually does use LinkedIn a lot as when it comes to the courses. LinkedIn Learning is because we were asking about competition and like where people are going to get their courses. As we have a course library, we might as well ask that. And LinkedIn came up quite high still, which news-wise, don't hear about it a lot. So think about it. What about gamification that is more about the piece of education? I mean, I don't want LinkedIn to copy me because, you know, we came up with the idea. I'm joking. We didn't come up with the idea. But as you see, we have quizzes everywhere. If you join our classes, we have quizzes. If you listen to this podcast, we have a quiz. If you look at our newsletter, it has a quiz. Maybe that is a smarter way to go when it comes to gamification, or when it comes to getting people to actually have some fun and just kind of using that curiosity piece. That would be, to me, if you told me, oh yeah, LinkedIn is doing like a little, again, gamification aspect where every so often when you're scrolling, you're getting like a trivia question that is maybe related to a course or related to something. Then I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see that. You know, you break down, you learn something new, but in a fun way. So it doesn't even have to be a quiz where you're like necessarily choosing an option, but maybe you're filling the gap about a number or something like that. That to me is more natural. That would be my thinking. What you're saying to me, I agree with you. It feels it should be separate. It feels I don't even know if I want to share on my LinkedIn that I'm doing this. It feels, as you say, just a way for us to say, oh, look how many people are on the app right now and they're using the app. I don't know. Would you use a game like the one that I mentioned, for example, or like an activity? Because it's more like an activity, isn't it?
Would you
have some? Does this feel more in line? Or am I just going wild and trying to be high on LinkedIn, basically?
No, I like... See, that to me seems a bit more logical and would make sense. The suggestion, or it's not even suggestions, they're actually doing it, that these games, I don't see, apart from just jumping on the Wordle bandwagon, there isn't that connection, like in the way that you've just described. I'm like, yep, I see it. I see the vision. I get it. That makes sense. What LinkedIn are actually doing, it's like I'm missing a bit of the puzzle. One of them's a puzzle game. But it just seems a bit odd. And like, to go back to one of your earlier points as well, would you want people to know? Like, I'm pretty sure if I got my phone out, people obviously know what my job is when I'm at work. If they see me on LinkedIn, they're not going to be too bothered because they're like, yeah, she needs to know what's going on. If they see me on LinkedIn but playing, what's it called? Cross Climb, they might have something else to say about that and go, it just seems a little bit odd. And given that the last, gosh, how long, maybe 18 months on LinkedIn, we've seen the type of content being posted daily really transform. People are treating it, I think, in a great way. It almost sometimes feels like slightly corporate Instagram sometimes. I don't think that is necessarily a bad thing. And I think it's so much more almost exciting as a platform. The fact that this feels like it's just a way for LinkedIn to show, look, we're increasing our engagement with users. They're on our app for longer. I'm almost like, why do you need to do that? Surely, with what's happened over the last, like I said, year or so, where people are posting so much more and they're dedicating a lot of time, a lot of people daily, to posting content, I'm like, I don't think you need to raise your engagement on there. I think people are probably spending quite a lot of time, if not posting their own content, engaging with other people. So yeah, seems slightly odd. I probably will try the games because they do kind of look quite good. That's not the point.
They got you that much, plus his research. I'm going to use that as research. I'll say it's research. Fine. Okay, so we kind of roasted the LinkedIn right now. We'd love, but hey, when you, like any platform, when you do something great, we're here to celebrate. When we are questioned, we have questions. It's only fair. The other bit that you said that caught your eye, are we going to redeem it a bit? Are we going to redeem LinkedIn, or we're doubling down just so
that... what mood am I in? Because it could just keep being a roast, maybe, but maybe not. LinkedIn's normally my fave. And to be fair, okay, so I'll stop talking like mysteriously. This is about the collaborative articles, which again is another indication actually of how long people are spending on LinkedIn now, because there are so many. If you scroll through the feed, you will see, you know, so-and-so has collaborated on this article, and you'll see whatever answer they've provided. And if you go into where all of the different articles are, you can see the number of responses from people. That must be a huge driver in engagement while we're talking about it for LinkedIn. And one of the things, the kind of the update, is that now there'll be a new shortcut. So when, in the same way that when you typically go to start a post, there'll be a easy to access, like collaborate button or contribute, sorry. Great. My slight roast is going to be this. Although these collaborative articles are great, and I really do like seeing the people I'm connected with kind of opinions and insights when they are applying to whichever prompt it might be, I do think that there is a slight underlying question mark over all of this activity. And that is because it occurred to me, LinkedIn is almost mining all of these top contributors' best thoughts and taking it for themselves. That's kind of, again, a bit sinister. Maybe that's the mood I'm in today. Just roasting.
I'll take a babe.
When this kind of collaborative articles first came out, I think around 6 months ago, it was great. And I do still think it's a great source if you are looking at one of the prompts and genuinely want to see what would other kind of experts in this area have to say. It's great because it's also a way of exposing you to people that you might not be connected with yet. You might not know that they are an expert in that field. So it can be really good to get kind of almost that firsthand experience about whatever your niche is. And there are, I don't know if you've been on non-marketing ones, Fab, but the marketing ones are very, very, very saturated. The other day I went, there's like a list you can get to, and you can see everything. And I was amazed. I was like, wow, there are so many different like niche topics, which I hadn't thought about. And I was always surprised that they were on LinkedIn. And the difference in the quantity of answers for, say, this is not what one of them were, but let's just, as an example, use like sandwiches versus social media marketing. Social media marketing would have like 1,000 responses compared to like 5. So it's a very, very saturated place. But in theory, the way this works is it will kind of bring the best to the top. My fear is that now they're making it, there's a shortcut, it's going to become sort of more integrated into your experience and more normal just to keep contributing, keep contributing, keep contributing, is where do we draw the line between what would have actually been a great post for somebody to publish just themselves, and also thinking about content outside of LinkedIn. So this is, again, slightly roasty, maybe, that they are getting all of this content from all of these creators. And we've talked about this, I'm sure, if not on the pod in person, that incentive to keep trying, because then we're going to give you a nice shiny badge and everyone's going to see that as recognition of like you're an expert in your field, you're consistent, great. However, what happens after? Because then if you want to go and talk about that content, let's say on your own website or, I don't know, you might already have a content hub, let's say, about that. Are you then going to be almost competing with LinkedIn and essentially yourself? Because they're getting so many eyes and so much, I don't know what to describe it as, but like engagement on this other content. That's my fear. That it's becoming so integral to kind of the LinkedIn experience that it's distracting you a little bit from original posting and then may impact you elsewhere. Bit sinister, but you know.
She is in a roasty mood. That's the way she finishes the season. She just like roasts and then just throws the mic. I hope not. Throws her headphones and runs into business. However, you have a point. And I think the point is here, once again, talked about on the pod, potentially in person too, knowing us. Yeah, they're doing an Instagram with all the love, which is we're now adding more things and or we're now telling our audience, shiny object, run. Shiny object, run. And that's what's happening. Like, you know, our audience doesn't know where to go. You as a user don't know where to go. What is your main pull? Like for some people it's about the networking, for some people it's about the trust and recognitions and the authority. So actually collaborative articles, badges is good. I feel we're getting to a point where some of the what can I actually do with my LinkedIn can get a bit confused. What should I use it for? How should I use it for? I think it's one of the things that that's very important too. So I think today we covered a lot of things. I think, you know, it's one of those things where going back and going into summer, there is a chance for you to do less, do it better, figure out why you're on the platform. Just like we said about LinkedIn, why am I on this platform? What do I want to make the most of? Which features do I want to use? So with that, Becca's leaving you. I will be back next week. I will tell you when, obviously, summer school starts, but now you know it's happening. So keep an eye out in our events page. We're going to start dropping all the sessions. When you sign up to any of the sessions, you get access to the whole series, by the way. As I said, as long as summer school is running, you can access all of them. If you're a member of the All Access Pass, amschool.click/library, you can access everything forever. It's going to be amazing. So many great sessions in there. Becca, if people want to run to LinkedIn and play games with you, where should they go?
You can find me at Becca Social. I'm on all of them, but I will be on LinkedIn probably the most and probably playing those games because research purposes, you know.
And when you're done playing games, or while you're playing games, don't forget, dear listener, to be kind to yourself and others. And remember that great marketing speaks to hearts, not just minds. And taking a break in summer is totally fine. Until next time, it's been a pleasure. Team, class dismissed.